You are listening to integrallife.com.
It's, you know, kind of astonishing as you move from one element to the other how sort of equally important they all are.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing. I mean, the quadrants seem absolutely foundational, but then you get to altitude or levels, mm-hmm. and it's hard to think of anything, you know, more important than that. And then you get to lines and states and types and so on.
Yeah.
And all of these are really crucial elements
yeah.
of a human being in the world.
Exactly.
And they are operating anyway. They are having an impact on the person anyway. And so we are either aware of them and help work with them, or we're blindsided by them. And those are the only two options we have
yeah.
with these elements.
And the blindness is really confusion. You know,
yeah.
if you don't have them all, you're kind of going, huh, I still don't understand why exactly this is happening.
Right.
And that kind of confusion starts getting alleviated. And we also know this through introducing our students to the six lenses, you know, in a particular order as we teach this. So in our first module, they learn the method of an include and transcend subject-object methodology, which is the two metaphors of working with current way and new way. But then we teach them quadrants and lines. And we teach them the multiple uses of the quadrants and multiple uses of the lines.
Right.
And then in the second module, which is embodiment and certification, then we throw the next four at them because now they've been used to looking as and looking at
right.
through two really incredible lenses all on their own and in combination and with the methodology. And now you drop down into a whole other layer. And nearly always, you know, after we have the first session when we're teaching them in module two, they say, oh, why couldn't we have had these four lenses back in the apprenticeship module? This explains why this went this way and this went that way. And yet
right.
they know, you know, as they were kind of learning and apprenticing, they needed to get the method and a couple of lenses under their belts. And now we're bringing, you know, the full Aqua constellation forward.
Right.
And it's just magical to see how so much makes sense for them now because it has a place to land. You know, they've
right.
been working in the method and they've been using two of the lenses. And so now there's all these open receptors, you know, waiting for and having a place to which something can land. And that's what's been really powerful as well around seeing people learn the lenses, even people who have never heard of integral
right.
are learning it for the first time. It just makes so much sense to them and clarifies things, not just in their work with their clients, their families get affected, how they're raising their children, how they're behaving at work, their whole lives change because something has been opened up for them in a real useful way. It's
right.
eminently useful
right.
And elegant.
Right. And we can see this with any of the elements. We're still talking about the quadrants. Somebody who is predominantly orienting through the upper left or I quadrant is going to have a lot of strengths. They may be good or bad at them, but they're going to predominantly orient through the I quadrant. So the I space is their essentially real world. And so they're usually good at introspection and good at feelings and good at being aware of themselves as an individual being and what they need and what they want. But they're often not aware of objective realities or objective truth. They're often not aware of what others need or want. And so these people can tend to be narcissistic or egocentric.
Given that, Ken, that I orient from the lower left, I totally agree with you.
Given that I, you know, orient from the upper left, it's like, yeah, narcissism would be an accurate word.
Why not?
But, you know, Ken, as you're saying that, you know, coaches also have aqua constellations.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, during their training, they need to become very aware of their own instrument. And so it's hilarious to watch, you know, students who orient from the upper left designing practices for clients that are about more introspection and more looking
yeah. Yeah.
and more self-discovery. And a client who orients from the upper right is saying, come on,
yep.
are we going to get something done around here?
Yep.
And vice versa, you know, a coach who orients from the upper right starts bringing forward like 17 million practices for their clients to be in with great charts to measure
right.
their results. And if the, you know, coach also, you know, happens to be an Enneagram 7 who's on to the next juicy thing,
right.
you know, it's 20,000 practices.
Yep. And all ritualized behavioral rules and that the client is supposed to follow.
Exactly, exactly.
And so, all in it language and all depersonalized.
Yeah.
And that's the way that somebody orienting from the upper right does in very objective terms,
right,
and is therefore not very good at the interiors of I or we, but excels in what you're describing, which is these exterior rules and patterns of behavior and practices that individuals can do, and without any sort of interior awareness at all.
Right.
Somebody who is stuck or predominantly orienting in the lower left or the we quadrant is very, very good at interacting with others and has very, very high emotional intelligence usually, gets along quite well with others, is very, very good at reading others and resonating with them, but has a hard time separating themselves from the crowd and separating themselves from the herd mentality and having a hard time really establishing what I want in the midst of this we and all these relationships that they've got themselves in and lost their I. And not to mention the it, they're often not very good at objective exterior understanding. And then in the lower right, where we have systems of its, this person is very, very good at exteriors as they all fit together in functional fit, as they all mesh together in working systems. And they don't really understand something until they can see how it fits with a bigger picture, all from the outside, all from the exterior, all in terms of inner objective realities and systems of its. And so that's their strength, and their weakness is really I, we, and singular it. So the quadrants actually end up showing us a great deal about the lenses through which people look at and translate their world.
Yeah.
And this is important for many of the reasons that we've talked about here, but to repeat a few of them, one, it's important to establish for the coach to understand what predominant quadrant, or occasionally quadrants, the client is working from, so the coach can see not only at, but as the client and understand how they are going to hear what is being said to them and therefore adjust their language accordingly so that they are resonating with the correct quadrant, certainly in the current way of being. And that will allow a correct resonance if the client comes in with an I lens, then speaking in I language and resonating with I symbols and ideas is going to help form a workable therapeutic alliance, if we will. And the same is true of whatever quadrant the client is in. So the coach spotting that is enabled to form not only an accurate sort of objective map or looking at the person, but also be able to look as, see through the eyes of the client by adapting the particular quadrant lens that the client privileges. And the current way of being, the metaphor that's chosen to reflect the current style or way of being of the client, the metaphor that's going to reflect both what has to be included, but substantially transcended or transformed for a new, more functional self to emerge in a new way of being. And that new way of being will likely include quadrants that are not present in the current way of being. So understanding the quadrants is a good first step to understanding the client's aqua constellation. And aqua constellation just means the general contents of each of these five or six elements of individual, what their quadrants are, what levels, what lines, what states, what types, and all of those together is the aqua constellation. It's a snapshot, an x-ray of the person's overall structure, state of being. And working with the aqua constellation is in an actual human being. We actually work with the actual human being, but using as a guiding reference the aqua constellation, because of its completeness and its richness, gives us a picture of the client that's less likely to be reductionistic, less likely to be flatland, less likely to be one size fits all, and more likely to be very rich and complex in its contents and what it indicates about the individual.
And what I was going to add, Ken, one of the ways that we, in our approach, strive to ensure it stays that way is that two things. One is that when a coach is trying to discern a client's Aqua constellation, we really do have it be just that, that it's the coach's take on it. It's not like we're running someone through a battery of tests and, and then giving them a printout and then kind of saying, you know, here you are. Good luck. Good luck. So we do use it as a way for the coach to get attuned to the client versus explain the client in that sense, in a reductionary way. The other thing is that what the coach is expected to do and their way of relating to the client's Aqua constellation is to keep having it be fresh.
Right.
Because the client is developing as they're moving through their coaching program.
Right.
And the coach may have actually been a little off in their discernment. I mean, they might have initially thought, oh, I think they orient from the upper left. And, you know, third of the way through, they go, gosh, I'm realizing now it's actually the lower left. It's just that they keep longing to grow in the upper left. And so there is a way in which the coach is expected to keep refreshing their sense of the client's Aqua constellation versus locking it in and then never checking again. So that's another thing that's in our training, and that's something we expect in our coaches.
Right. Essentially, this is called self as instrument, and it means that you're actually using your own feelings and intuition and knowledge of the different models of these five major elements to then assign a client to a particular stage or type in any of these models. And it's held lightly, and it's not actually given as a series of written tests, although virtually all of these elements do have written tests. And those are available should anybody really want to get down to knocking it out with a very serious rigor. But it's not necessary because it's usually, you know, pretty obvious what quadrants a person is coming from and what lines or multiple intelligences they're using and what their general altitude or level of consciousness is. So, and again, it's held lightly and it's always shifting. It's shifting as the coach's perception refines itself.
Yes.
And it's shifting as the client grows.
Absolutely. And, you know, as you know, the ability, you know, to take perspectives on perspectives on perspectives, you know, is developmental.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we can see our coaches growing developmentally as they kind of step into the fuller understanding of how to be with their own reality, or at least how we're, you know, looking at this kind of relative reality, and how they're also able to perceive their clients. But they also find that they start looking at their spouses differently. They start understanding their parents with a lot more equanimity. Laura and I have often talked about, you know, that we started a coaching school, but actually we're in the business of alleviating suffering.
Right.
And that's ultimately what this kind of elegant way of using an Aqua constellation in service of human development does. And, you know, I can't, well, there's lots of beautiful uses of the integral map, but this one especially, of course, moves us in the field that we're in.
Right.
So holding the Aqua constellation lightly, but also with great respect. You know, the kind of somber working with it is also necessary because it's a very powerful map.
Right.
So to be able to hold it with that kind of respect and also hold it with humor and hold your own development with deep respect and with certain humor is very helpful for any of us in development. You know, as we say to our students, you know, you're in deep trouble when you sign up for our courses because you've signed up for a lifetime of being more awake and more able to take more perspectives. And the more you see, the more you're going to see.
Right.
And, you know, welcome to samsara.
I think that's very, very true and a good point. And one thing about the sort of the power of the Aqua map and the Aqua framework is that it's psychoactive. I mean, once you learn these elements, you never unlearn them. And they never stop making sense. So once you've seen four quadrants and first, second, and third first-person points of view, it's extremely rare that somebody who is a first-person reductionist will, after seeing this and working with it, go back to being a first-person reductionist. That toothpaste won't go back in that tube. and the same is true of levels and lines. And the framework sort of gets in your psyche and starts going through your system, alerting you to areas of reality that you are not including. It's just sort of a little flag goes up and a little alarm goes off, and you examine your perception and your awareness and make sure that you are including as much of the world as you possibly can. And that is what alleviates suffering and increases awareness and consciousness and love and happiness. And that's sort of the ultimate use of the Aqua framework, is putting it in motion just like that. So all that's, you know, good to keep in mind.
Yeah, I agree. And I think one of the things, too, with, you know, the greater perspective taking and seeing more and more, the more you learn, the more you see, and the cycle continues, that even with looking at, you know, the developmental methodology that we use around working with a client's current way and new way, there's also something in, you know, how we describe it as taking something and making it object. So I have this way of moving in the world, and sometimes I'm just not aware that, oh, I have a way that I'm going to be approaching this particular coaching topic. And
right.
to actually, you know, have someone think into, you know, their best perceiving of you, their best looking as how you look at the world,
right.
and offer something forward to you, you know, on an open palm as an offer of a current way of approaching a particular topic and a metaphor that they can hold on to. That, too, is a move that's alleviate suffering,
right.
because there's a them seeing of themselves, or that move, you know, as we've talked about, from first person subjective to first person objective, and actually being able to hold, oh, there I am, oh, that's why, and oh, there, that's why she did this at this meeting, and this is how I responded, oh, there I am. And that alone is also a very freeing moment of seeing kind of a construction of myself and its current set of capacities, and to know that, and this is unusual in the coaching field, because most schools in coaching tend to approach their development with clients as only looking at the future, the place where you want to get to,
right.
and then work on the gap between here and there, versus saying, you got here just fine without me.
Right.
You know, you were just fine before you ever worked with a coach.
Right.
And there's some things, you know, that you want to change. It doesn't mean that you're not, you know, that we have to kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
And so the current way of being usually has some, you know, very unique talents associated with that particular Aqua constellation and that human being, that they're going to bring forward, hopefully, those healthy aspects into whatever they transcend to.
Right.
And that kind of include and transcend and honoring of the talents that already exist here today, as you're living your life here today, versus, you know, as we talked about, keeping on planning to develop so that in the future you'll get to the place where you want to live, that
right.
kind of future place. And we said, hey, why not live, you know, here too?
Right.
And, you know, so working with it that way as well, you know, as you talked about even in Atman Project around subject-object development, that also as a form deeply alleviates suffering.
Right.
And to have that so that it's not only present in the lenses associated with the Aqua constellation, but it's deeply embedded in the integral coaching methodology
right.
itself, in working with the human being as they include and transcend their current self into whatever, you know, this next iteration of their becoming is, knowing that it never ends.
A wonderful point, and just goes to say that the individual should start with self-trust where they are. And self-appreciation where they are. Because if you can't fundamentally trust what brought you to the present moment, then no amount of work will get you over that.
Yeah.
Because then you'll distrust the work you're doing if you distrust everything about yourself.
That's beautiful.
So there's a trust in there that, in a basic goodness, it needs to be pointed out from the start. And what the Aqua coach or therapist is going to do is just help rejigger a few of these items. And so that's a really healthy attitude to have.